It's a pleasure to be back in Salt Lake City and to have fellowship with you. I like to come here every few years or so that the reports of my death are highly exaggerated. Tonight I'm going to be speaking on the Mormon doctrine of Christ, and that, of course, is the cornerstone of everything. And if you have a correct view of every area of theology, and if you have the wrong view of Jesus Christ, then you are wrong enough to lose your soul forever. Jesus said the most important question was, what do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? And I want to address that this evening. And also, I'd like to make a little brief announcement, because last night I was speaking in Ogden, and some people showed up there who were distributing, and probably will put some of them on the cars tonight, a sheet of paper which allegedly tells the whole truth about me. And, of course, you couldn't tell the whole truth about me on one piece of paper. And in 37 years of ministry, the material written against me is as high as this lectern. And just recently, another one came out in Arizona. So I just wanted to address it briefly, though most of it isn't worth addressing. I have been accused of so many things over the years that the only thing I haven't been accused of is the crucifixion, because they couldn't put me in the time frame. But they've worked on that as hard as they could, and I think it's necessary for me to speak on the subject just briefly. And the first thing is that I'm supposed to have received my doctor's degree by correspondence. I would just like to draw to the attention of the people that are circulating this, who incidentally didn't sign it, which would have made it actionable under law, that I did all my doctoral studies at New York University, which is one of the highest accredited schools in the world. And when I moved to California, I simply transferred my credits to an approved school in California, approved by the Department of Education, the state of California, and they honored my New York University credits, and I received my doctor's degree. I also did a thesis, and I also did written examinations at New York University and a thesis seminar. So the mythology that I got it by correspondence is nonsense. I hold two bachelor's degrees, both of them from an accredited school in New York State, accredited by the University of the State of New York. I hold a master's degree from New York University, which is very high by itself. My doctoral study was done there, and I hold a PhD from California Western University, and that is approved by the Department of Education of the State of California. Should there be any doubt on that subject, we have an organization in California sent us something I was very grateful to receive. It was a slip of paper, and it gave a complete breakdown of the charges made against me educationally, and that is available now because we obtained permission to reprint it through Christian Research Institute. We didn't do it, somebody else did. I was very grateful they did. And if you're interested in getting a free copy of it, all you have to do is drop a postal card to Christian Research Institute, Box 500, San Juan Capistrano, California. Or you might stop over at KANN Radio. They made some copies. The title of it is, Does Dr. Walter Martin have a genuine earned doctor's degree? In the state of California, all of this is right here. You can just check it for yourself. So much for Mormon mythology, which should be dealt with. Walter Martin was ordained a Baptist minister in 1951. They got that right. He neglected to mention, however, his ordination was revoked 2 years later. He has been going on false ministerial credentials ever since. Neither the General Association of Regular Baptists, nor the American Baptist Convention, nor the Southern Baptist Convention claim him. I'd just like to respond to that. All you have to do is get the Southern Baptist Yearbook for the state of California, and you will see me listed as an ordained minister since 1974. You'll also find my ordination in the American Baptist Convention for 9 years in New Jersey. All that material is available to the people that throw this garbage around, but they never bother checking any of that at all. I haven't been going on false ministerial credentials. I've been recognized by 3 ministerial groups, and my credentials are in effect. Any Baptist church can send out a letter saying it doesn't recognize you or your ordination. And one church did. one out of 17. 17 disagreed with them. That doesn't affect me one iota, nor does it affect my ordination. And that is Baptist polity. Anybody that knows anything about it knows that. And finally, I am accused of deceiving everybody worldwide, and I make my living criticizing other people's religions. No, I don't. I make my living preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm also... an accredited professor of biblical studies and teach in four fields and have for more than 25 years, which is in at least 9 reference books in the United States. So when your Mormon friends or gossips come to you and start peddling this garbage, then you simply have to tell them the facts. We have all the facts. Also, the people that have published this in Arizona will have to give their explanation for it in federal court. And therefore, it will be put to rest once and for all. It is clearly reckless disregard of the truth. So I take this 5 minutes to tell you that because every once in a while it surfaces. And people think you're hiding if you don't say something. I have nothing to hide. I'm not hiding. I've been out front for 36 years. Now, if there are Mormons here tonight who don't believe it, then I would like them to take that slip of paper. I'd like them to affix their name and address to it so that then it becomes actionable there, too. But blank paper you can't do anything with. But if you've got the guts, put your name and address on it, and then you can defend yourself against it, and I don't think you'll do too well. Now that that little matter is taken care of, let's have a word of prayer. We worship thee, our Father, the only living God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We ask thee through thy Holy Spirit to open the eyes and ears of our souls tonight that we may hear thy voice. We pray for Mormons who may be here tonight. Open the eyes and ears of their souls and minds that they may see the real Jesus Christ. And give us grace, Lord, that we may remember our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of the spiritual darkness of this age, against wickedness in high places. Give us power and bless the Mormons throughout the world with the revelation of the true gospel, that they may be born again into thy kingdom through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13. I want to read just a few preparatory verses of scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 13. If there arise in your midst a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a miracle, and the sign or the miracle which he gave to you comes to pass, and he says to you, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. The Lord your God is putting you to the test, that you may know whether you love the Lord your God with all your soul, your heart, your mind, and your strength. You shall walk after the Lord your God and obey him and keep his commandments, obey his voice and serve him and cling to him. And that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be executed because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage. To thrust you out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded you to walk in, you shall put this evil away from the midst of you. The purpose of the false prophet, whoever he or she may be, is always to thrust you out of the way that the Lord your God told you to walk in. Always to deceive you. That's the role of the false prophet. In the Old Testament, it's clearly delineated, also in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus said, beware of the false prophets who come to you dressed as sheep, but inwardly they are savage wolves. That's spiritually. On the outside, sheep. On the inside, spiritual wolves. You will know them by what they produce. It's very clear that the false prophets can use Jesus' name. It's very clear that the false prophets can use his name to work miracles, cast out demons, and even call him Lord. But Jesus said in Matthew 7, when I meet them, I will say to them, leave me, I never knew you, workers of iniquity. So false prophets look like genuine prophets. False teachers look like genuine teachers. The only test that you have is what God said in his word. And if they speak not according to the law and the testimony, there is no light in them. And that's the only way to do it. Test it by the scripture. Now, Brigham Young said, take up the Bible and compare the faith of the Latter-day Saints with it and see if it will stand the test. That's pretty clear. Brigham said, check us out and see if we're telling the truth. And Parley Pratt, Mormon theologian, very clear, Orson Pratt in The Seer, made it very clear when he said, convince us of our errors of doctrine, if we have any, by reason, by logic, and by the word of God, and we will be forever grateful to you. Now, how is it that whenever you start to talk about Mormonism anyplace, and you compare it with Scripture, you're immediately attacked as anti-Mormon? When you have been invited to do so. To respond to the invitation is not to be anti-Mormon. I'm not anti-Mormon. I'm anti-Mormon theology and Mormon doctrine, which contradicts biblical Christianity. There's absolutely no doubt that long before I appeared on the scene in 1950, the Christian church had taken a position on Mormonism. As early as the 1830s and 40s, Christian ministers and theologians had written on Mormonism. And they all had said exactly the same thing. Mormonism is a polytheistic, pagan, religious cult which uses Christian vocabulary. And it warned the whole Christian church against them. The Catholic Church, rarely in agreement with the Protestants in most areas, came out and said exactly the same thing. The Eastern Orthodox churches said it. So long before I arrived on the scene, the Christian church had stated that Mormonism was a dangerous non-Christian cult. They were not anti-Mormon. They were responding to Mormon theology. When a Mormon missionary comes into your living room, he says, we don't like to confront people. The church doesn't believe in confrontation. We're just here to share with you. And you're no sooner sharing a few minutes than the next thing that you hear is that all the religions of Christendom are wrong, that all of the professors of Christendom who profess Christianity are corrupt, and that all the doctrines of Christendom are an abomination to God. Now, if that's not confrontational, I don't know what is. You've wiped out all the churches, you've wiped out all the theology, and then you've wiped out all the people. Who do you have left? Joe. And that's exactly what you had in 1830. So when we deal with Mormonism, let's understand that they are very confrontational. Only they don't want to say so publicly. I think meetings like this are a good place to say so publicly. And I think it's a good thing also to have a question and answer period so that if people have a question about Mormon theology and Christianity, we can respond to it. Mormonism uses all the vocabulary of Christianity. And by using our vocabulary, people get the mistaken idea that Mormonism is Christianity. They have sold that on radio, television, the Reader's Digest. Everybody thinks Mormonism is Donnie and Marie Osmond and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. That's the public relations image. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars to do it. But that is not the fact. That is not the truth. So I would like to concentrate tonight upon the person, nature, and work of Jesus Christ. Because if Mormonism is wrong on the person of the Savior, if it's denying him and what he did, then everything rests on a corrupt foundation. And that's why it's necessary for us to point these things out. First of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the scripture gives a clear picture of something that Paul was afraid of and that would occur in the Christian church. His fears were well grounded. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4. I'm afraid for you, lest by any means, as the serpent tricked Eve through his subtlety, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well go along with him. All right, I want you to look at these three things: another Jesus, a different spirit, and another gospel. One Saturday morning, I was trying to relax at home, and a knock came at the door. My wife answered it, and her voice drifted up the staircase. "Walt! Walt!" And I looked over the banister and said, "What is it, dear?" She said, "There are two gentlemen down here to see you." I said, "No, they're not, dear, because this is my day off." She said, "They're Mormon missionaries." I said, "There are two gentlemen waiting down there to see me." I went down. There were two bright-eyed, bushy-tailed young fellows from Utah on mission. And they were zealous. I mean, they just were licking their chops at the opportunity of witnessing to me, sharing their testimony. And they said, "We notice you have a fish on your door." I said, "That's right. It stands for Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior." They said, "Well, we're Christian missionaries." I said, "That's interesting." I said, "Who do you represent?" They said, "The Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints." I said, "You are Mormons." They said, "Yes, we're Mormons, but we're Christians." And then they proceeded to tell me what they believed. This is what they said: "We believe in God the Eternal Father and in His Son, Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ was miraculously conceived. We believe that Jesus Christ, get this now, died for our sins and shed His blood and rose bodily from the dead and ascended into heaven, and He's coming back again. He's our Savior." By George, that sounded orthodox. That was good enough to give him an A in doctrine class. Beautiful. So we chatted for a couple more minutes, and then very nonchalantly, I said, "Do you really believe in Jesus Christ?" And they said, "We certainly do." And I looked at these two boys and I said, "Which one?" And they looked at me very strangely. They looked at each other. And the one on my right said, "Oh," he said, "there is only one, isn't there?" I said, "You mean they didn't tell you in the training center in Salt Lake City about the other Jesus?" He said, "What other one?" I said, "They didn't tell you." He said, "Nobody told us." I said, "Do you have a Bible?" And they said, "Yes, sir, we carry a Bible." I said, "Good." And they brought out their King James Bible. And we turned, I didn't have my Bible. I said, "Turn to 2 Corinthians 11. And they did. They always want to have them read the passage, because in reading the passage, the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of God. They won't listen to you, but the Scripture says they can't help but listen to Him. So, the sword of the Spirit will get through. I call this falling on the sword. There's no need for you to whip out the sword and take their heads off. All you have to do is position the sword in front of them and then have them read it. It goes right through. And they started to read it. And they read that passage. And they got to the words, "Another Jesus." And they stopped and looked at each other. And I said, "Keep reading. It gets worse. Another spirit. Another gospel." And I said, "Hey, look what it says here in verse 13. False apostles, deceitful workmen who transform themselves on the outside to look like apostles of Christ. But no marvel, Satan himself is transformed on the outside to look like an angel of light. It is therefore no great thing if his ministers," I said to these boys, "Whose ministers?" They said, "Satan's." I said, "Satan has ministers who dress up like the real thing. They're counterfeits." I said, "Isn't your church the only one with 12 apostles?" Yes. I said, well, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? Counterfeit Jesus, right? Counterfeit Holy Spirit, right? Counterfeit gospel, right? Counterfeit apostles, counterfeit ministers or missionaries, and all of them counterfeited by the prince of darkness, who is the great counterfeiter. On the outside, he looks like an angel of light. Inside, he is the adversary of our souls.